And joining us today is Lisa Scorlini. Lisa is the New York Times bestselling author and Edgar Award-winning author of 23 novels, including her latest one, Every 15 Minutes. She also writes a weekly column with her daughter Francesca Ceritella for the Philadelphia Inquirer titled Chiquit, which is a witty and fun take on life from a woman's perspective. So we can talk a little bit about that, talk about the books, and talk about Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa, for being here with us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to do it, Louie.
First of all, as I guess people may wonder, when did you get started writing, and were you interested even when you were still a child or in high school? Just talk a little bit about your career.
Right. Well, I think I was always a book lover, and I got hooked on Nancy Drew at an early age. And, you know, I was a library kid. I always sort of say this, my mother hates when I tell the story, but that we had one book in our house, and it wasn't the Bible, it was TV Guide. Like, we're not readers. To this day, I'm not sure my family has read anything. But, you know, everybody's different, and I loved books. And I always sort of thought, gee, I wonder if I could ever be a writer. But I became a lawyer because being a writer seemed so risky. And to make a long story short, I had my first divorce. That doesn't sound very impressive, but it's the truth. And my daughter was born about the same time, and I said, wow, you've got to find another way to make a living. You can't really be a trial lawyer, at least in my case, as a single mom. You've just got to change your life. And I thought, you always wanted to be a writer. You always kind of loved Nancy Drew. When I read a lot of crime fiction in those days, especially someone like John Grisham, you know, there were a lot of male leads, but there weren't very many women. And I thought, well, I could do that. I mean, I am that. And so after lots of 5 years of rejection, my favorite rejection letter was from an agent who said, we don't have time to take any more clients. And if we did, we wouldn't take you. Thank you. I know. I see him every year at Book Expo, and he calls my name and I pretend not to hear him, which is really fun. But, so after that, I just started writing, and I got a lot of rejection. But finally, after 5 years of struggle, the first book was bought, not for a living wage, but after I won an Edgar, I started to be able to make it be my full-time job. And 24 years later, and almost 23 novels later, here I am. And I feel, God, so lucky and so blessed. And it's really just because I wanted to stay home with my daughter, honestly, as a single mom, and I'm still a single mom.
We're visiting with Lisa Scorlini. She is the best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. Her recent novel is Every 15 Minutes. You know, you were talking about how John Grisham and a lot of those people, for a long time, the novel, except for romance novels, was kind of dominated by men. But now, all of a sudden, we see you, Kristen Hanna, Lisa Gardner, Sandra Brown, Lisa Genova, and on and on. And all of you are writing some terrific thrillers that, you know, people would not expect.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think there are some of my favorite authors you just named there, and I feel like I'm in very good company. Well, to me, I love reading, and what I love more than reading really is this country. And when you think about what the country is founded on, I mean, I've been a constitutional lawyer. You know, the principles of the First Amendment are diversity of speech. So the more people telling their stories just means that more people will be reached and see themselves and their story. So that's really what you're trying to do. Nancy Drew stood in for every girl. And I got known for writing, you know, really smart women protagonists. Now I write men protagonists. I think I'm known for my characters being relatable. But the more people tell stories in this country, the better off we'll all be. I think reading builds empathy that way. And people who read tend to be open-minded for that reason. So I'm delighted that I think change comes slowly, but it comes. People of color are writing now. All sorts of different people with different sexual orientation are writing. And we need to hear those voices so we understand each other better.
At least one of the things that, as you mentioned, things are changing. We see the technology, and we never imagined that we would be reading books on Kindles, Nooks, tablets, and then audiobooks, because audio stories go back to, I guess, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, where radio dramas were very good. And so listening to an audiobook, I guess it's very important from your standpoint to choose who you want to read that story and get that message across.
Right. And Louie makes such a good point, because I love audiobooks. And I think, you know, when you really think about it, hearing a story told goes back to probably caveman days. And I also think it's something that we do every day in our personal lives. You know, your wife will come home or you'll go home. How was your day? What happened today? How about that person at work that annoys you? Was he annoying? You know, you're telling this story all my part. For example, the audiobook really matters and who reads it. But in fact, when I'm writing a novel, like every 15 minutes, I have said every word of that book in my house out loud. I don't, and I'm not only talking about the dialogue. I will say the words and say the sentence if I'm struggling with a sentence to make sure that it gets as smooth and normal sounding as possible. Because if you ask me, people, when they read, in a way, they read the voice in their own head. And if it's a complicated sentence or a difficult to follow sentence or it's just awkward or clunky, they'll stop. It won't flow smoothly. You know, when you talk about the things that make you not be able to put a book down, a lot of it is the art and the skill and the effort above all that you put into each and every sentence. And in fact, with audiobooks, I write a humorous memoir with my daughter. I guess the one coming out this summer is called Does This Beach Make Me Look Fat? They're kind of like Irma Bombeck. But we actually read those audiobooks. And frankly, we've won awards for best audiobook read by an author. I mean, I care very much about audio because I care about a story being told well.
We're visiting with Lisa Scodellini. She is a New York Times bestselling author of many books, the most recent, Every 15 Minutes. Let's talk a little bit about this book, Lisa, because you mentioned that you started introducing, you know, male protagonists. And in this one, I guess you focus on Dr. Parrish and then the teenage boy. And it just shows a little bit about the other side of sociopaths, psychiatric hospitals, and what these people go through.
Right. And I mean, the idea for it, because, you know, there's a great quote by Francis Ford Coppola. He said, you know, the guy who did The Godfather, he said, "Nothing in my movies ever happened, but all of it is true." Now, that's what I live by, because I go, OK, where's the truth that gave rise to Every 15 Minutes? Frankly, in my own life, I was kind of looking backwards and going, you know, I had a relationship with someone who I think was a sociopath. Looking back on it, I think he was a sociopath. And so I wanted to explore that. Frankly, I wanted to see what signs did I miss? How would I know? What could I do to protect myself? Because my research showed that 1 in 24 people is a sociopath. Now, that's a lot. And now that I've written this book, I'm getting a ton of email from people saying, I think I live with a sociopath. You know, it's really something that we need to examine. And so what's going on in this book is I started the research and talked to several psychiatrists, and they all said, oh, no, you wouldn't see a sociopath coming because they're already there. And I thought, that's fascinating. And that is, I hope, what gives the immediacy and the urgency and also the relatability to the book. Because even though it's a story that's unlike mine, I went through the same thing that Eric does, that Dr. Parrish does in this book. And I know it's hard to figure out who the sociopath is. In a way, the book became a little guessing game for me to give to readers. And the reviews have been honestly the best of my life. And nobody guesses who the sociopath is. And I feel kind of justified that I didn't guess it in my real life.
Wow. What about when you talk about sociopaths and OCD, I like the way that you describe, or Dr. Parrish, of course, talks about OCD and, you know, what are some of the symptoms and people who are hoarders, people who just want to do something all the time. And I guess it goes to the title, Every 15 Minutes. People may wonder, why every 15 minutes?
Exactly. I mean, I did the research and I actually talked to someone who has OCD, but he didn't want to be identified in the acknowledgments, and I respected that. That the title comes from Every 15 Minutes because there's every 15 minutes, the young boy in the book has to perform a ritual, which is a very common thing for people who suffer from OCD. And actually, he has a very common form of OCD ritual, which is he has a repetitive thought. His ritual he has to do, but he also has a repetitive thought, a compulsive. And his compulsive thought is that I'm afraid I'm going to harm somebody that I really like. Like he has a crush on a girl and he's afraid he's going to harm her. That's also part of OCD, as is checking things and washing too much. And I really learned, because I wanted to also destigmatize mental illness. I mean, so many people suffer from OCD. And one thing this person said about OCD, said, God, I hate when people say things like, I'm always on time. I'm a little OCD that way. You know, he said, nobody's a little OCD. And that is just completely misperceives the nature of this disorder and how it can be torture. And I really wanted to also just look at mental illness in general and how when it goes untreated in this book, it leads to real criminality. You know, you look at the shootings we have today and everything like that. That's because our mental illness is not, we don't treat people well. We can't, we're not getting to everybody. We're not getting to even anybody. And our jails are full of people with untreated mental illness. And when they come out, it's going to be even worse.
We're visiting with Lisa Scodellini. She is the New York Times bestselling author of various novels. The latest one is Every 15 Minutes. In that book, Lisa, Max, who is a young man that Dr. Parrish is seeing, it's interesting because when, as the story develops, it's his grandmother and he cares a lot about his grandmother. And so Dr. Parrish is worried about telling him that, you know, she only has a few weeks to live. And then finally, when she does die, Max can't handle it.
Right. I mean, and that's really an important thing because I learned in my research that sometimes a break like that, I mean, in the book, he doesn't have a good relationship to his parents. And so his grandmother, that was a real central figure. And frankly, you know, the emotional truth for that comes from, I lost my mother actually a year ago around this time of year. And that's when I started to write because I saw with my daughter, who's now an adult, of course, but how much she loved my mother. And how that, you know, you always hear from, at least at my age, you hear it from people who are grandparents or just became grandparents, and they'll say, God, I love my grandbaby so much. But you don't often hear it from the grandbaby, you know? And I sort of wanted to, I wanted the poignance and the truth of that relationship that between grandparent and grandchild. Max really looked to his grandmother as my daughter looked to my grandmother for so much. And, you know, we used to call her the grandmother whisperer because she could, my mother would do anything for my daughter that she might not even do for me. You know, go to a movie, whatever the stuff. She was tired. My daughter can always get her out of the house. I couldn't. And so I really wanted, look, family matters. Every single one of my books, even though they're page turners, I hope, are about family because that's where the real drama is. And so I wanted, the only person who actually mentioned that, and I think it's really at the heart of this novel. You're absolutely.
We're visiting with Lisa Scodellini. She is the author of the book Every 15 Minutes. And Lisa, I want to go back a little bit to one of your other books, and that is Don't Go. And you feature in that Dr. Mike Scanlon, and he's called to serve as an Army doctor in Afghanistan. And I think this book was very interesting because it was very timely, very topical. And then, you know, you don't realize the struggles that these soldiers experience when they're over there and when they come back.
That's really true. And that book, you know, was heartbreaking to research. And I was lucky to have an Army surgeon who served in Afghanistan and Iraq help me. And I wanted to, so what the story is about is, you know, a guy who goes to serve, leaves behind a wife and a young baby. And while he's away, you know, you're so worried about him in harm's way. But while he goes away, there's a horrible twist in that his wife appears to be a household accident. So he comes home and he begins to investigate, wonders if it's murder. But really, what he has to really undergo is try to make a rapport with a baby daughter that he feels a little inadequate. And I sort of really wanted to highlight, you know, we say, the struggles that not only service people go through, but that their families go through. We ask so much of these people, and they do so much for all of us. And I think we say that sometimes, but I thought, it was a very difficult book to research because, you know, obviously, set a scene in Afghanistan. I mean, that's not easy unless you're going to fly over there. And I'm just a little lady in the suburbs. But really, I really wanted to do it, and it was a very successful book, and that made me very happy because I think, you know, to a certain extent, you're popping. Every novel, if it's any good, is about what is it like to be you? And so that Don't Go is about what is it like to be in that serviceman's position, and how can I really feel that and smell what he smells and see what he sees and go through his life with him? That's why books, as I said before, that's why books build empathy, because you're really in someone else's head, regardless of the wrapping, whether it's man or a woman or black or white or whatever, you're in their heart and their soul, and that's where I want to be.
And, of course, you mentioned earlier that all your books tend to be about families, and I think that's great because people can relate to whether they have a bad relationship with their father, their mother, or if, you know, everything's going good and something goes bad. And another one of those books is Keep Quiet. And When I read this, I was really taken aback because of, you know, that secret that didn't want to come out. But it was also important because this boy wanted to bond with his father.
Right. And I just want to say I'm so grateful that you've read so much of me. So many interviewers don't take that time. And it's clear you're a book lover, as am I. So thank you. But you're right. I mean, that was another book where I was writing about what is a father, you know, in Keep Quiet, the father, you know, he's worked too hard all his life. And give him credit. But at the same time, he's kind of missed out on a lot of time with this kid. And he realizes that when the kid's about to go away to college, he really wants to kind of make up for lost time. And I thought he reminds me of a lot of parents. And believe me, I've been this kind of parent at times. When you say, you really want to say no to your kid when they ask for something, but you say yes. You say yes to make him happy. You say yes to give them what they want. And if you're really trying to build a rapport with them, you want them to love you. And but sometimes you got to do, and what he does in this case, you know, he lets his kid drive when he shouldn't, and something terrible happens. And it's the kind of thing that could happen anywhere. I must tell you, when I did the research for this, because briefly what happens is they switch sides, and we're not telling anything in the plot because I think it happens the first chapter. While the boy is driving, he gets a little distracted for 1 minute, and they hit somebody with the car. Now, when I went to the police, and the father says to the son, which frankly is something I would do, we're going to say I was driving. We're just going to say I was driving. When I went to the police to research that, that was my first question. I said, is that plausible? How often do you think it happens? And they said, we think it happens every time. They said, anytime we have a parent and a child, and they're both in the car, and the parent says they were driving, we think they're always lying. Because most parents would cover for their kid. And that's sort of what happens. And so this initial, so much proceeds from his initial decision as a parent to say yes when he should have said no, that they get the whole family embroiled in this, you know, really huge, almost their downfall until, well, every single one of my books, you know, they say, do you know how it ends? I don't. I don't even know how it middles. Like, and I hope that's the kind of thing that, you know, will convey the, you know, the will keep the pages turning because I don't know what's going to happen. So I've got to figure out what's going to happen, which means the character has to figure out what's going to happen. And usually they're just ordinary people with good hearts. They're flawed, but they are real. And so they got to get themselves out of the bind they got themselves into, just like life. And that's what my life is like. What bind did you get yourself into this year, Scottolini? You better get yourself out.
And one of the other books, Come Home, it also deals with families. And, you know, the family is happy, but then all of a sudden the ex-stepdaughter shows up at the door and Jill finds out that her ex-husband is dead.
Well, that's true. And again, thank you for reading that. You know, I wrote that. Where's the emotional truth in that book? Well, I'm married twice and divorced twice. I mean, that doesn't sound very impressive, but I always say from thing one and thing two, but that's just to make myself laugh. I am an ex-stepmother. I was a stepmother. I loved my stepchildren. But when the divorce happened, well, I kind of lost them. And it occurred to me since being a mother is so much a part of my life, and I love my daughter, now she's my co-author, we're really close. How weird is it that I have, like, can you have an ex-child? Because if you're a stepmother and your ex, that might be. So I've never seen that in print. I would like to explore that. What is that relationship like? What are the emotional boundaries of that relationship? And as you say, Come Home is about, you know, the ex dies, and it seems that he's murdered, and her ex stepdaughter comes out of the woodwork and says, "Will you help me find out who murdered Dad?" Well, this woman's got her life, but she's got a lot of unfinished business. And I sort of wanted to write about the emotional truth and the drama of that. They're always a crime, and there's always about justice, and they're always about family. It's not a plan, and it's certainly not a formula, but it's something that I noticed when I look back at my own work. What is it that makes me wake up in a book? Like, when am I really start paying attention? And that's the only thing I try to write about, so that I have the reader's attention.
Let's talk also about characters are created by your pen, your typewriter, your computer, whatever. And you had a series of the Rosado series and Denuncios and the law firm, and that's included in Betrayed as well. But tell us about this Rosado series.
Yes, well, basically, I write two novels a year and one memoir, these Irma Bombeck-type memoirs. So the Rosado series is the series that I began writing when I was in 94, and I've kind of rebooted it, and now it's sort of Rosado and Denunzio. And it's a story of, since I was a woman lawyer, it's about a law firm that's for women lawyers. And what are they like, and how do their relationships change? When I started writing it again, because I took a little break from it, I changed the series title. So the first one was Accused. Betrayed was the second one. The one that will be out in October is called Corrupted. So you see it's ABC. I decided that Sue Grafton was kind of done with the alphabet, so maybe I could use some alpha. I was like, okay, that's not copyrightable. But I really like that. You know, when you think about, I love to read, and when you think about the difference between a series and a standalone, which is what a book like every 15 minutes is, you know, in every 15 minutes, you see this instant problem the psychiatrist has, and it is resolved in 350 pages. And so he'll have some change in his personality, but his so-called character arc is over the length of a book. But when you look at series like Rosado and Denunzio, you're looking at a character arc over 15 years. And I mean that in real time. I started writing Rosado and Denunzio in 1994. So I love, first off, I feel very lucky that I have readers that will come with me on that whole journey. But really, you're doing a character study with really compelling, you hope, stories about, as I say, about justice in each one. But what's happening in Betrayed is a lot about, the heroine in Betrayed is named Judy Carrier, and all of a sudden her best friend Mary Denunzio, her, and sort of what happens when your best friend becomes your boss? How does that change your relationship? I really like to look at the dynamic between friends. I think girlfriends are forever. I mean, I've had friends. Every 15 minutes is dedicated for my best friend from high school. That was God knows how many years ago, right? And so I love to look at the way relationships change over time, and more importantly, especially for fiction, how events affect character. When you lose your mother, how does it change you? That's something we can all understand. And I think it's worth sort of examining in our own lives. So that's really what's happening in Rosado. These lawyers always take on some kind of case because that's interesting. But really, it's the interpersonal dynamics and the relationships that make those novels, I think, compelling.
We're visiting with Lisa Scordolini. She is New York Times bestselling author. Her latest book is Every 15 Minutes. And Lisa, you have some great reviews. Michael Connelly, Entertainment Weekly, Nora Roberts, David Baldacci, Harlan Coben. These are all heavy hitters, and they write about your writing and saying that it's incredible. You know, they can't wait to put it down, and it's true. And I think that the audio version of your books also is very well done because it's not just somebody reading. It's almost like a dramatic interpretation of your book.
But that's exactly true. And I learned that when I initially said, gee, you know, I would, and they said, no, you're not an actress. And then I started to really listen to them. I mean, it's one thing to read a memoir, which is about something funny that happened to you or something moving that happened to you, like I do. But, I do get to select the people who read these books. I mean, they give me audio on my request. They'll give me audio clips of the people and will say, who do you like better? George Newbern reads every 15 minutes. He's on Scandal. Well, I've been watching him on Scandal. He plays a really hard, he plays a tough character on Scandal. And he's Charlie. And I was like, you know, but he did a very good job on the audio clip I listened to. And I thought, I could see him as Eric Parrish. But you're absolutely right. And I think so few people realize that. It is a performance. It is a real performance. And they have to convey so much just through voice. And also all these different characters. You know, you don't get any of the visual cues you get on TV or even in the novel. So, and I just love audiobooks for that reason. I love to drive and listen to them. I usually miss exits. and sometimes I hate when that happens. I'm like, oh no. Or sometimes I actually stop in my driveway. And then I read an article that someone called that a driveway moment. And I'm like, I get that, you know, where you're so involved in an audio story that you go, wait, I wanted to hear this part, and then I'll go in and start cooking. You know, I agree with you.
As far as your novels, they're all thrillers just about. But you also write, as you mentioned earlier, humorous books. You do articles also, like in the newspaper. And one of the articles, I think, is called My Third Husband's Going to Be a Dog or something like that.
That's one of the books in this series with my daughter. So Why My Third Husband Will Be a Dog.
Oh, yes.
And, but let me, can I explain that? Like, it's not bad about men. It's really just because, you know, if you're like me and you're a single woman, you make yourself happy in your life, you know? And I really love animals, and I have horses and dogs. And so when you live alone, like, there's no one to tell you can't, you don't have to compromise anything. And I found that a lot of women, I'm not alone in that, you know, whether you're widowed or divorced, a lot of women end up getting dog and they're happy as clams. So it's really that I just love dogs so much.
And some of the other series that you write with your daughter, Francesca Saritella, they're titles that really grab people because they're going through that. Like if somebody has a nest, that empty nest, you write, my nest isn't empty. It just has more space. And I think...
Right.
The other one is Meet Me at Emotional Baggage Claim. I love that.
Yeah, thank you. My daughter thinks of these titles. She's really good at these titles. And the last one was Have a Nice Guilt Trip.
Yes.
Which, you know, I should really wonder why my daughter keeps coming up with these guilty titles. But a lot of it is about the relationship of mother. I mean, about mothers and daughters. I mean, we're best friends, but like one of the book titles was Best Friends, Occasional Enemies. I mean, I have on my refrigerator door a note she wrote me when she was 12, and it said, if your name is Mom, go away. I mean, we all, right? Anyone who's a parent knows, especially there's something about mothers and daughters that you have. Sometimes you drive each other completely crazy. And sometimes you're like, I feel so lucky to have her in my life. And I wanted to write about that. And it's fun to write about that. So it's a nice break from crime and murder and justice and all that stuff.
And somewhere I heard, I'm not sure who said it, but they said moms are travel agents for guilt trips.
Now that's a good title. I should have thought of that.
You can use it.
Thank you, Louie. I appreciate that.
We are visiting with Lisa Scodolini. She is the author, New York Times bestselling author of the latest book, and that is Every 15 Minutes. And some of these people, like Harlan Coben, says, Scodolini writes riveting thrillers that keep me up all night with plots that twist and turn. Michael Connolly says, Lisa Scodolini is one of the very best writers at work today. And David Baldacci says, Scodolini is a powerhouse. And when you read, you have 23 novels, I think. Is that correct?
Something like that, yes.
And they're being translated in different languages. But this one, Every 15 Minutes, you have a website, do you not, Lisa?
Yes, I do. It's Scodolini.com, which is spelled Scottoline.
And can people read some of these humorous essays that you talked about online?
Yes. Well, actually, and I have a Facebook page as well and a Twitter page. And every Sunday, the essays that are funny are in the Philadelphia Inquirer, but they're also, I put them up on Facebook and I put them up on Twitter. So they're on my website. There are three different places. And I'd love it if people came and read along with them. I think they'd really love them.
And you mentioned about standalone books, and Every 15 Minutes is a standalone book, but sometimes people will pick up something about the Rosado. They want for you to write a story about them, I guess. So tell us, what is Lisa Scodolini like to read? Our listeners will probably wonder about. What do authors read?
I'm a real bookaholic. I love reading. So I read a lot of crime fiction. I mean, I like mysteries and thrillers. I like things that generally, I like books that move along. So, you know, I read a lot of the authors you mentioned. I love Sandra Brown, and we're buddies.
She's a great lady.
I read Kristen Hanna. Yeah, she's great. I read Kristen Hanna. I love to read Janet Ivanovich is fun. You know, my tastes are really kind of eclectic that way. Jodi Picoult, I like, you know, like this book has an ethical quandary. I like books that make you think about, gee, what would I do in that situation? So I also read a lot of nonfiction. I love memoir. So David Sedaris, I love. I just read an interesting book called The Boys in the Boat. I mean, some historical fiction. I just finished Euphoria. I like literary fiction. But basically, I think it's really important that I read stuff that I love. Like I've given myself permission to not finish a book. If it's not working for me, I don't finish it. which was hard because I know I pay money for it.
Same here. Lisa, we want to thank you so much for being with us. You very conversational, very friendly, and we want to thank you. And we hope our listening audience kind of connects with you and goes out and looks at all these books that you have and just forgets about everything and just start reading. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us.
This was really a wonderful interview, and I hope to meet you someday. Next time I'm down, I just got back from the book tour down there. But when I come back down, I'd love to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Louis. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Stay well.
You too. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sainz. Lisa, thank you very much.